Your income is your seed. If you cannot grow that seed to a level where it makes more money for you, it doesn't make sense. The goal is financial freedom, but at the same time, you need to live a little. Allow yourself to live.
Hey guys, welcome back to Financially Incorrect. I am your host, Barak. Remember, this is where we have a cheeky take on serious financial topics. This podcast is proudly sponsored by FXPesa. Remember, if you want to learn how to trade, FXPesa has classes Monday to Friday that are offered in Westlands. They are physical, they are online as well. If you'd also like to open up a trading account, whether it's a demo account to practice or an account to actually trade, FXPesa is a place to do it. And all the links to be able to access all their resources or to be able to open any of these accounts, a demo account or a trading account, are always in the description box. Please do check those out. Let me just say thank you for everyone who's been watching and supporting our content. Let me also continue to give this caveat that at Financially Incorrect or at the podcast, we don't offer financial advice, at least not in a direct form. We have guests who come in and we try and understand their money stories, their money journeys, try and understand how they've made money and how they've invested that money. And through that, we hope that you who's watching or listening are able to pick up a lesson or two, but we do not offer strict financial advice. In fact, I think there's only one person who's come onto the podcast, Amos Ngahu, who has identified as a financial advisor, financial specialist. Everybody else is just, you know, because money is, you know, money is what's the word? Like, you and I deal with money. I budget, I have expenses, you do as well. And that doesn't make me an expert, doesn't make you an expert. And what we're really trying to do is understand that there's a theory of how one ought to deal with money and everything that we are told about how to deal with money, and want to see if that's the case on the ground, like in the reality, in everyday workings, as people are making money through salaries or businesses, do they actually use all of these theoretical methods that we hear about? And so anyway, today, I have yet another, interestingly enough, I guess as I've given my caveat, I have an investment advisor who's here with me today. She told me she has five names, although I don't know if I'm able to, if I'm allowed to talk about all the five names, but she's the founder of Vasily Capital, an investment firm. I just want to get the exact bio right. An investment consulting firm that consolidates various investment instruments from different companies to provide a 360-degree view of wealth growth journey for investors. And so with me today, I have Rose Ella Nyawera. Welcome to Financially Incorrect.
Thank you, Barak. Thank you so much. Yes. I have five names.
Yes.
Legally.
Yeah.
On my ID.
Do they fit on your ID?
They actually do now.
Do they?
Initially, they didn't.
Yeah.
So I had to get an affidavit for them to fit.
Ah.
Yeah. I needed to get a legal document and it needed all the names there because they're on my birth certificate, but they were not on my ID.
Right.
The first one and then, the first one was not on my ID.
Yeah. Are you the eldest child in your family?
No, I'm the last born. And the only girl. I think that's why I was given all the English names that they could think about.
Okay. Yeah. That's interesting because my brother, my eldest brother as well, has very many names. I think it's five or six potentially. And I don't think they fit on his ID. Sean, if I've gotten that wrong, just forgive me. But I don't think all his names fit on his ID. And he also had trouble at some point because of the sheer number of names he had. They just assumed they cut off, like, I guess when you do the ID application, at some point they were like, okay, these are enough names, and then decided one of them was going to be his surname, and it wasn't his surname.
And it
obviously
wasn't his surname.
Yeah, so he also had to do like an affidavit for it to get that sorted out.
I think what they didn't tell you legally is some of the legal documents that you need in life.
Yeah.
You actually have to have all the names that are on the birth certificate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I'm going to get my ID, because I got my ID when I was just leaving high school.
Mm-hmm.
So they should have just added all the names that were.
Yeah.
So I've had to have it added last year. Just last year is when I had the first name added. I don't know whether I should say it.
I mean, they're your names.
So yes, legally I am Anne Rose Ella Nyawera Ngare. I think industry-wise, I am known as Rose Ella Nyawera Ngare, and I am also identifying to my friends as Nyawera Ngare. So I am just reducing the names as they go along.
Right, right.
And so that I can be able to identify right. all the other parts of my life as yeah. well. Yes.
Okay. Mm. We've been celebrating, I guess, at Financial Incorrect, we've done like an International Women's Month for the month of March. So you're the last, because for March, we've only had women guests. So you're the last one for this month, because this episode's going to air on the last day of March.
Okay.
And the theme for the International Women's Day this year was Inspire Inclusion. Yes. What did you think about that?
I would look at it from the industry that I'm in when it comes especially to investments and finances.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's from where I sit and from the industry that I'm in, actually, when as a woman who is in a male-dominated industry,
mm-hmm.
I think it's good that we actually include ourselves when it comes to financial matters.
Right.
I mean, before you invest, Barack, and you're married, before you invest, the first thing that you usually say is, let me ask my wife, right?
Hopefully.
You don't. I hope she doesn't hear this. Because,
I do.
It is normally, let me ask my wife.
Yeah.
That is how women are actually included. We are actually the people who plan our men's money. Most of the time, but we don't know it, we never know it, and mostly because men are risk takers, and as women are more nurturing and we have more of a long-term outlook when it comes to life and all that, so you're able to judge the investments. So the moment you, as a woman, you actually include yourself in that journey when it comes to your finances and put it in your head that you need to be included, you need to be there, you need to learn also how to manage your money as a woman and also manage other people's money, you're able to teach yourself and teach others. The beauty about we women is, as nurturing as I am and as a mother as I am, I will learn and then I will introduce Shiko and I will introduce Jane and I will introduce someone else in my journey, and they will introduce others. So it becomes a cycle.
Okay. You know, I think in my specific case, I think I'm more risk averse than my wife is, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I think she's
more of a risk taker.
I would say, I think so. Like, but as I think about it, yeah, of course I do. But I think about it now, I think, I think I'm definitely more
risk averse
than she is. I think that would be my assumption.
Mm.
Okay, all right. Mm. So I mean, is that a theme that you're looking to, I guess push through for the rest of this year? I know that you've said that. I mean, the day that we're recording this, you've talked about going to do a training for 50 women.
Yes.
On financial matters. I know that on the 23rd of this month, there is an event, What Women Want, which is done by Pinky Galani, which FX Versa are sponsoring. And you're speaking at that panel as well.
Yes.
Is that sort of your way of also trying to, I guess, inspire inclusion?
Yes, inspire inclusion. And also, as a company, we have a policy that we focus on women and youth mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're having a campaign called Empower, Peace and Freedom. And Enough.
Okay.
The first thing is empower. How empowered are you as a woman?
Yeah.
So that you can be able to take your financial journey and to make financial decisions.
Yeah.
And have you had enough of your situation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you had enough of living debt, in debt? Have you had enough of not having enough money? Have you had enough of not having insurance?
Yeah.
And what are you doing about it? If you have had enough, what is enough wealth for you as a woman?
Yeah.
The other thing that we have is peace. What does that peace look for you when you have enough wealth?
Yeah.
And then freedom. What does it represent for you?
Yeah.
Yes, as a woman.
Okay.
Yes.
I have a question for you on that. And this, I'm actually picking... Well, not directly, but I'm picking almost literally from some of the comments that I've been made aware of on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I guess, the week that we're shooting this, just a couple of days before, there was a stuff that was really trending around financial content in the Kenyan content landscape right now, right? And the person who made a comment and said, you know, I do not want to hear about another money market investment plan. Like, if you're not telling me how I'm gonna make that money, then, you know, just forget it. And I'm asking that based on the comment that you've made around are you tired or not of not having enough money? Mm-hmm. So what do you tell people who, I guess, are tired of not having enough money? And if you were to, I know I'm putting you in the spot, but if you were to directly respond to this person who tweeted and talked about, well, I don't know if it's called X now. Anyway, it's but X. This person is X now. Anyway, the person who sent the tweet, who sent the tweet and essentially said, I'm tired of hearing all of these financial plans. If you're not telling me how to make more money, then forget about it.
I mean, the question is, what do you have?
Yeah.
As a person, yes, I'm directing to that person.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you how to make more money.
Yeah.
I'm asking you, what do you have so that we can work with it, so that you can make more money with it? Because your income is your seed. If you cannot grow that seed to a level where it makes more money for you, it doesn't make sense. So what are you coming with?
Yeah.
As an investment advisor, anytime a client comes to me and they tell me I want to make more money, and I always ask them, is that the goal? Fine. If the goal is to make more money, what is enough money for you? I mean, if I give you, if you have 5,000 and I give you 10,000, is that enough? You know, that's the question.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are you coming with so that I can be able to guide you?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're coming with an empty mind and an empty hand,
mm-hmm.
I'm also not able to feed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because you can only feed to yourself.
So then how do you help me?
The journey is very personal, Barak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you do not take it upon yourself to actually walk that journey,
mm-hmm.
I cannot help you as an investment advisor. And that is what people never understand.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to a wealth manager and tell them, I have 5 million lying in the bank, but I don't want to touch it, but I want to invest it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does not make sense to the wealth manager, because they'll ask you, so how do you want us to invest that 5,000, 5 million, yet you don't want to draw it from your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to see it and smile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you don't risk it, you're not going to make money out of it. So you have to put yourself out there as a person and decide, as much as this is, I have the 5 million, I need to make this journey more personal and also own the journey and walk the journey.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot, if you gave that money to someone, maybe you say, I'm giving that 5 million to someone. 2-3 years later, you'd want accountability, or even 3 months, you'd want accountability.
Right.
I mean, how is my money doing?
Right.
But if you don't do it, and you say you have given that 5 million, it's like burying that money in the mattress.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What happens then?
I want to play devil's advocate on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
On the client side and the advisor side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for the client side, I want to ask, if I'm coming as a client, do you think that, and this is your general opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking your general opinion. Do you think that financial advisors are catering and providing enough, whether it's information or resources, around people being able to raise the capital, like people being able to actually make the money to be able to invest? And I'm really trying to just, I guess, hit the nail on the head with regard to that tweet that was sent.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, are you not, do you feel like you guys are doing enough of a job, so to speak, to talk to people about how to make more money so that they can have this 5 million to invest? Because if you don't even have that 5 million to invest, then, you know, it's a non-starter. Then, sorry, on the second side,
I feel like I'm being crucified on behalf.
You feel like you're being, possibly, and I said possibly. Then on the second side, I want to ask, now on the as an investment advisor, do you feel like people want a shortcut to be able to make money? And by a shortcut, I mean, like, do people just want to be told that this is how to make money? Like, do they want an easy way out, and are almost quote unquote refusing to accept that it's actually difficult? You know, there's a book called The Road Less Traveled, and I think the first, like, I think on the first page or something, it says, life is hard, and it's supposed to be hard. And once you accept that, it changes your way that you'll approach life. But anyway, my point is, do you think that there's a percentage of the public that is just looking for an easy way out to be able to make lots of money?
Can I say the second question has answered the first question? The thing is,
yeah.
we we as a society, yes, we have been raised, we have a microwave kind of society. We just want to, yes, we want a shortcut.
Right.
We want to grow this, we want to grow to 5 million without thinking that there are steps that need to be taken. We want the 5 million to grow to 50 million without, yes, with taking risk, of course, but without thinking about the risk itself, yeah? So we don't understand the risk tolerance, we don't understand the risk appetite, that, or rather the kind of risk that you're taking, yeah? So your 5 million, yes, can grow to 50 million, but in what period of time?
Right.
And what risk do you have to take? We never think about that.
Right.
We never think that we can actually go from 5 million to negative, yeah?
Yeah.
10 million in seconds, in days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So unfortunately, as a society, and I think I have been part of it, I'm not going to speak as an investment advisor. I am going to speak as a person who has wanted to get money quick as well.
Right.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we also look at the investment solutions that are there and we're like, it's going to take so much time for me to grow from my 50,000 on a month-to-month basis to 5 million, yeah, it is going to take so much time. And yes, it's supposed to take so much time unless you're increasing your income.
Yeah.
So how do you increase your income? If you're not earning it, maybe from your employment, perhaps you look at ways of getting into a hobby that can make you money.
Right.
Shoot a podcast like Barack, you know, do YouTube channels and you have, you have passive income coming through.
Yeah.
Do TikToks. I hear TikTok is paying $100 per
in the revenue program?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how much that I know. I read an article that said that the lady who did the who did I get married to series, I think within the first 48 within like a week or something, she'd made like $300,000, but I don't know how much there. I don't know what their cost per mile is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
So see, there are ways of increasing your income just like that. But I think we have to actually go back to the question of, internalize the question of, this is my money journey as a person.
Yeah.
And I really need to understand my basics, my budgeting. I know you have talked about it, my budgeting, my expenses and all that.
Yeah.
And then see if I have any residual income that I can put into investments.
Yeah.
If I have any residual income that I can put into investments, what are these investments that suit my life goals, that are aligned to my appetite, to my risk appetite and my risk profile?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. All right. I have a very sort of obscure question to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite money-themed movie?
Oof.
And why?
Damn. Have I watched a money-themed movie? I think the
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes.
Really? Why?
When I was watching it, I was starting the company Vasili, and I really knew what we wanted to be.
And at was it Jordan? Did you want to be like Jordan?
Yes. Yeah. I wanted to make those sales.
Yeah.
You know, ring a bell and say, we have closed us.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was 4 years ago.
Okay, interesting. I think Wolf of Wall Street also for me, like, I guess it's quite up there. I think those guys just, especially in the way that they portrayed it in the movie, I think they just lived large. I think there was this scene, because I saw this on Twitter, I think last week.
Mm-hmm.
Someone had put the clip where Jordan is with his, I guess, his partners, and his dad is walking in complaining about their expenses, you know, and saying that they're, you know, blowing 20, 30,000 on dinners and entertainment and all those things. And I think it's like those guys were really living large. So I think that's what I found alluring, about Wolf of Wall Street. Anyway, okay.
The funny thing is, like, because I've been in investment sales for a while.
Yeah.
The moment you get those commissions, sometimes you feel like you want to blow them up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So it's in the industry.
What's the largest commission you've got?
I think 700 in a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, some time back. That was in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
2017. Yeah.
Okay. Mm,
in a month, and that was, and then it kept rolling over every month, so you're getting that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
For a couple of months.
Okay.
And I blew it.
Oh, all the money?
You know that episode of I Blew It in South Africa? They have some series of I Blew.
The one about people who've won the lottery and
yes.
Yeah. Oh, how come? I would assume that, you know, being an investment manager, you'd be a bit more savvy.
We are wiser now. We were young and stupid. Now we are wiser.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
What did you grow up thinking about money? What was the money mindset that you, I guess, had or that was instilled in you by your upbringing?
We didn't have money.
Yeah.
So I didn't know anything about money, really.
What do you mean by we didn't have money? Are you able to qualify that a little bit more?
My parents were civil servants.
Okay.
Civil servants back then didn't have money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are three of us. Mm-hmm. We were in boarding school, so we lived, all I saw is my mother living loan to loan.
Okay.
Yeah, because you have to go to school, you have to be paid for school fees and all that. But we had a nice house, we had a decent house, we had a nice farm.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know anything about money, like in terms of investments and all that,
mm-hmm.
when I grew up, because we were also not talked to about money
mm-hmm.
when we were growing up. I think just recently is when I realized, Allah, my mother was rich. You mm-hmm. know, she... Rich in terms of, if you see the dividends that she gets from her circle,
mm-hmm.
like she used to invest all this much
mm-hmm.
and she gets all these dividends at the end of the month, mm-hmm. at the end of the year. But she also lived kind of loan to loan
mm-hmm.
so that she can be able to sustain
mm-hmm.
our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, and I remember also kind of struggling with school fees and all that
mm-hmm.
when I went to campus.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, when I got my first paycheck, the first thing that I did is actually budget, because the fact that I didn't have money, and also I've gotten a paycheck and I don't have enough money to sustain my expenses,
mm-hmm.
the first thing I did is I used to maintain a book. I saw it some time back and I was like, guy. Unga was sijui how much bob, sijui 76 bob.
Mm-hmm.
And so unga, ugali, diapers for baby. Diapers were expensive back then. I had
mm-hmm.
a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, diapers were expensive back
mm-hmm.
then.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I remember just writing everything down. And I think that kind of changed my money story mm-hmm. a bit. Because now you're earning, you have to actually manage your money. You have to pay rent, you have to pay a house guard, you have to... Sustain a man, mm-hmm. sorry, yeah.
is this at that particular point in time, or is
yeah when I started
or
earning,
or is sustaining a man like a
when I started earning? Sad story, bro.
okay.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, as well as you go along, because now you're thinking, the only way I knew money is borrowing,
mm-hmm.
so I started getting into. Debt as well. So what is the quickest way I can be able to borrow from my bank?
Mm-hmm.
Then there were no mobile loans and mm-hmm. all that. So what is the quickest way I can borrow from a bank? How much can I pay? So borrow from a bank, perhaps. I made the first investment in a business and I made a huge loss, but I kept paying for the loan.
Okay.
So yeah. Then I think after that, I stopped completely just taking loans.
Okay. And just What led to you wanting to stop taking loans?
Because I didn't know what to do with it. Okay, I am borrowing because I want more money.
Okay.
You get?
Yeah.
Because I have this illusion of the money in the bank. You feel like you're rich when you have money in the bank.
Okay.
But you're paying for it.
Just wanted to have
money.
You just wanted just to see money in your
just
account.
Just see it. Yeah. After making the loss, the business loss,
yeah.
I just wanted to see money in the bank.
And when you're talking about a business loss, how much money had you lost?
It was kidogo.
Yeah.
Because I borrowed like 50K.
Mm-hmm.
I was paying, then I was earning 10K. So okay. When you borrow 50K, it's
five times,
a lot.
Five times your salary,
yes.
Yeah.
So you can imagine
mm-hmm.
When you have invested all that in a business.
Yeah.
Ilikuwa ya nguo, nilikuwa nauza nguo, na CDs. Then you could buy movies.
Those five, the five in ones?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then...
You're well and truly in the piracy game.
Saying I was.
That, I mean, I think that. We bought those.
Exactly. I was.
Yeah.
And then because I was working full time, my then boyfriend was the one who was managing. I feel ashamed saying this.
Managing the business. And you guys had a child together at this point.
Yes.
Okay.
And we blew it. Or rather, he blew it. So I kept paying the loan after the business has gone under.
Yeah,
for a period of time.
Yeah.
Then after that, I got a salary raise. I was so happy. So I started, my first salary was 10,000. Then I got a salary raise of 15,000.
What year is this?
2010.
2010, okay. I'm just asking so that, to give context for,
yes,
I guess, the viewers so they understand.
2010.
Okay.
And actually, that was my first job in an investment company because I'd studied law. So I was continuing on with my law degree. Then I got into an investment company. Then I was a receptionist. So, and then I got into, when I got a salary raise, I became an investment, a customer service officer.
Okay.
I was happy.
Okay.
15,000, it kwa pesa mingi.
Yeah.
But then, this is Nairobi, you're living in Nairobi with 15,000, So you wake up at 5 so that you can catch a mat by 5:30. Yeah, that you bob kukuja tao.
Okay.
And then you leave the office at 7:30 so that you pay another
7:30 p.m. Okay, well, off peak. Basically, trying to get the off peak.
Yes.
Yeah.
And your employer thinks you're the employer of the month. Basically, you're just managing your expenses.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, I mean, did your bosses then think, like, you must be a really, really hard worker then? Like,
they
you
thought.
You must be committed to.
They thought to I was.
Firm. Yeah.
They thought I was.
Did that lead to a bigger raise?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fortunately, yes.
Yeah.
So from that, especially the beauty is when they see that you're committed, they give you more. You're rewarded with more work.
Yeah.
That is the beauty of being in a corporate world. You're rewarded with more work. And then after a period of time, I also got a raise and also got a job title raise.
Okay.
Then I think by 2013, I was head of customer service for that company, and then I was poached to another company. Now, the other company gave me money that I had never seen in my bank account.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shoot.
How much is this money that you have never seen?
Hey, yeah. You're coming from 40, you're paid 150. And you're like, Allah, this life is nice, you know. So, of course, your status change.
Okay.
You want to live in a better place.
Okay.
You want to buy furniture, more expensive furniture and all that. Then after another 6 months, I was poached by another company.
Must have been very good at your job.
I was.
Yeah.
I was very diligent.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and I thank God for my first company, that 10,000 company.
Okay.
Because it was a really good training ground of who I am right now, actually, yeah. When it comes to what I do with my career and how I even chose from being a lawyer to being in the investment world.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, poached.
So you poached again. Yeah.
Poached again after 6 months. Also given a nice raise. So everything was
double, triple, quadruple.
This one was, it was not much from the 150. It was just an increment.
Okay.
But with better benefits.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically. And then it was more of a perspective. It was more of a challenge to me,
okay,
a growth
so
challenge
growth,
to me.
Right.
Yeah. So it was more exciting at that moment. So, yeah.
Okay. Before you go on a bit further, I want to ask, how is your budgeting, your personal budget changing from the 10K to the 40K to the 150K to the now a bit over 50K? Like, what's happening? I know you've talked about wanting to buy better furniture and, you know, moving houses. Are there any other fundamental changes in the way that you're spending
Everything
your money?
Everything changes. The problem with us as people is everything changes. Yeah. The moment you get money, the first month, actually the moment you sign that contract and you know I'm going to get this, you've already started looking for houses, better schools for my son, maybe another house help, perhaps. Paying more, you know, everything just changes. And I even thought I should buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But a car that time mm-hmm. was very fundamental to my business mm-hmm. because I used to not stay in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I used to be told I'm part of the furniture. So I never mm-hmm. had an office desk because mm-hmm. I used to move around a lot talking to clients and all that. Mm. And moving from one office to another because I was in charge of training and development for the distribution team.
Right.
So the problem I did is mm-hmm. with that, I think that was one of the biggest money mistakes I've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
I took a car loan with the company, yeah?
Okay.
So see, the company has negotiated a rate with the bank.
Right.
So of course the rate is lower.
Right.
So I took a car loan and I paid part of the deposits
mm-hmm.
and then the company, now with the employment, every month you're being deducted a certain amount.
Right.
Now, unfortunately or fortunately, I am a big dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
5 years, when I was hired in the third company now, mm-hmm. which was the last employable company that I was in.
Okay.
When I was hired, I was asked, where do you want to be in 5 years' time? And I said, I had big dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have my own company and I want to. 5 years, mm-hmm. yes, I actually had my own company.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't, and I took the car loan on the fourth year and then I quit. A few months into it, my dream called me. So okay. I quit. Unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
when I quit, of course, yes, the loan goes back to the market rate.
Right.
And then COVID hits.
Oh, wow.
So you've quit.
Yeah.
You don't have income whatsoever.
Yeah.
And then you have to pay this monthly loan. Every month you have to pay a certain amount.
Okay.
And you have a startup.
Okay. Before, because I have questions on that, but before that, I want to tie this back to, because you had said
mm-hmm.
that you had sort of foregone the loan mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were now taking this car loan, was that a challenge for you to get back into saying, okay, I'm taking another loan. I had said I don't want to do loans anymore. Was that a bit of a challenge or?
It was,
mm-hmm.
but also it was kind of trying to keep up with the Jones kind of mentality okay. for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Because all your peers at that were moment, driving, right? Yeah, they're driving and they've bought cars and you're like, why not?
Right.
Yeah. I actually got my driving license when the car had arrived.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay. All right.
Mm.
I guess I've understood sort of your going over the mentality of not wanting to take loans and take one so you get a car.
Mm.
So now you said COVID has hit, you've quit. You have a loan to repay back at market rate.
Yes.
And you've quit to start your business. So at this point in time, there's no income that's coming.
There's no income whatsoever.
So how are you surviving at this point?
I took my pension because you're allowed to take 50% of your contribution. Then it was, I think, 100% of your contribution
mm-hmm.
and then 50% of the employer's contribution.
Okay.
So I took that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I was using to survive.
Right.
And then I think 2020, I started a business with the car just to try and maintain.
Okay.
Yeah, so that I can just move around as well. And that was during COVID. That was at the height of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, so that I can try and maintain the monthly payments.
Okay. How much were the monthly payments?
I was paying 25.
Okay.
It wasn't a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't have income and you have all the other expenses, So I think that was one of the biggest, that's why I say it's one of the biggest money mistakes I've ever made.
What was the mistake?
The mistake was taking the car loan
mm-hmm.
without thinking it through and without thinking about the risk tolerance that I had. You see, the thing is,
mm-hmm.
if I had stuck with the employer,
mm-hmm.
the monthly payments would still go on.
Mm-hmm.
But now because I wanted out, I wanted mm-hmm. to go out and chase my dream.
Mm-hmm.
I do not regret it whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But I should have sat down and thought about the monthly repayments mm-hmm. when it comes to loans.
Mm-hmm.
So the question was for me, was it worth having this car
mm-hmm.
for this long?
Right.
Do I need to keep it?
Right.
And end of 2020, beginning of 2021, I put it into market.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm done. Because we are working mostly in the house.
Mm-hmm.
If it's movement, I can take an Uber.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's mobility, everything is sorted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really don't need it at this moment. So I just put it into market and paid off the loan that was remaining. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So from what I've understood, the excitement of, and I'm looking at Justin here,
mm-hmm.
the excitement
mm-hmm.
of going to follow your dream
mm-hmm.
Sort of took out the logic of the whether you would be able to comfortably pay back
exactly.
The car loan repayments, monthly
exactly.
payments.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
So I hadn't
yeah.
like, you know, we jump with you're so excited
your
about
heart,
something,
yeah.
but you have
yeah.
not thought the way through all
yeah.
the way through.
How yeah. sorry, how often do you see that in your line of work?
Oh, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Do you have confidentially agreements you sign
yes,
with your lawyers?
Do.
Oh,
we,
okay.
We have.
With your clients, sorry.
Yes,
I was going to ask
do.
You for yeah, a story or two. Yeah.
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 We do, but sometimes you meet people and you're like, this financial plan does not make sense at all
mm-hmm.
for you. I mean, mm-hmm. and I think it's things that we go, sometimes you go through and you look at a plan for someone, they have bought a house or they have built themselves a really nice house.
Mm-hmm.
I know on home ownership is one of the things that we actually aspire to have.
Right.
But then I keep thinking about it this way. So I have a home I have built.
Mm-hmm.
I probably have taken a loan to build it.
Mm-hmm.
I bought the plot when I was employed. Took a loan from my circle, built the house. Maintaining that house might probably cost about 70,000. So
mm-hmm.
perhaps you have a gardener, you have, you know, security, you have all these things to pay. And I was paying rent of 35,000.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is easier? You know, those are questions that you keep asking
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, I met a young client and we're going all through all that. He wrote down everything that he has and I was like, oof, okay. We need to kind of go back to the
mm-hmm.
drawing board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because some things don't make sense.
Yeah.
And the goal is financial freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you need to live a little.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to live. So if the situation right now is constraining you,
yeah.
you need to kind of pull yourself back and ask yourself, where did I go wrong in my journey? So that I can be able, kind of you're paying it forward.
Yeah.
Where did I go wrong in my journey at the moment? So that
yeah.
I can be able to live financially free in
yeah.
the future.
Yeah.
Because if you look at someone who is in their 30s and they are in debt of millions,
yeah.
and it will take them
years to pay.
Years
yeah.
to pay.
Yeah.
And what they have acquired probably are dead assets. So you buy a plot here because your friends are telling you
right.
to do so.
Right.
I mean, it does not make sense.
Right.
So you need to actually pull yourself back and ask yourself, what do I want at the moment? What are my short-term goals, my medium-term goals, and my long-term goals? How can I be able to achieve them within the shortest time possible? And how do they align with my financial situation at the
right.
moment? Yeah.
Okay. If we were to use your experience in your work as a sample size,
mm-hmm.
what percentage of Kenyans do you think are financially literate?
Hey, that is a nice question
yeah.
because I would say financial, if they know about money,
yeah.
let's say 100% know about money.
Yeah.
But in terms of financial literacy,
yeah.
I would say about 10%.
You'd say, so one in 10 people?
One in 10 people
yeah.
know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
The reason I'm asking this is because I came across this, it was an article I came across.
Mm-hmm.
from the World Economic Forum, and they were talking about Denmark and how it's mandatory for teens to take part in.
Oh, you saw that
financial,
yes.
yeah, financial literacy classes, and I'm gonna read a just a section of it, and it says, not only are the Danes the happiest, they're also some of the most financially literate in the world, and it's because of the education system in the place that they start teaching them about money and how to deal with it when they're still in school, placing an emphasis on budgeting, saving, and planning efficiently. puts their financial literacy rate at a whooping 71%.
Mm.
Every year, 20,000 students at 700 schools participate in the Danish Money Week, where financial professionals teach classes. Becoming financially literate is crucial. Anyway, yeah.
Mm.
So I guess when I read that, I was also like, oh my goodness. It's the same way, I guess, for us. I think what I've heard many people talk about is the fact that nobody talks to you about, you know, taxes and KRA and all those things, yet these are things that are going to become, I guess, once you become an adult and you get your PIN and your ID, these are things that you need to take care of on a daily basis. So I guess for me, I was just looking at it as, I guess from where you sit, I guess because you're saying you're 1 in 10 people are financially literate. So I almost want to ask, and it's almost going to sound cliche, but what age or at what stage do you think financial literacy should be introduced?
From a young age.
Yeah.
From school, from what
as Denmark deliberate as is this, doing. Yeah.
Yes. Because, I mean, if I learnt about money when I was growing up,
and I
usually think that most of our journeys when it comes to most of our life journeys, actually,
yeah.
whether it's money, whether it's relationships and all that,
yeah.
it is all about how we grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah, how you grew up, seeing how your parents are treating people and all that, that is how you're going to treat people. Yeah. Perhaps or better.
Yeah.
So if I learned about money from a young age, mm-hmm. I would be much further in life than I am right now. I would probably not make the mistakes I made. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know from a young age. And it's actually, you can actually see it from people who have grown up with parents who are bankers or investment advisors and all that. Because I've engaged one of them and his outlook is so different.
Right.
You know, he's one of the, you know, those families in Kenya that you know have it.
Yeah.
But he does not need to show off with big cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. He commands a presence when he walks into a room,
yeah.
but he does not need to show off with big cars and all that because he learned about how to manage his money
right.
from a young age.
Right.
And I think that is how we should actually, I think in Kenyan system, I think from the age of 7, let them learn, okay, when you do a task, I'll pay you. Then when I pay you, say something that you perhaps give a goal, what do you want to purchase at the end of the year, and then I'm going to purchase it for you.
Right.
And I think it's changing, Barack, because having a teenager now, I'm seeing his way of relating with money is way different from how I related with mine.
Mm-hmm.
He will get money from his uncles and he will come and tell me, put it in my money market fund account.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently he told me, money market is giving 10%, mom. Mm-hmm. And I can see dollar has appreciated. That was in December. Mm-hmm. Asking me what is happening with the dollar and all that. I was very interested.
Yeah.
I think for that one time, I knew I had done something right.
Right.
in my life.
Right, right.
Okay. Yeah. And then we opened an offshore account for him, and that's where he's been depositing the money. Okay, of course, through my help.
Right.
But that's where he's been depositing his.
Right.
Yeah, his pocket money.
Okay.
Mm.
In dollar.
Now we have to.
Right.
Now I have to know which, which bureau in town is giving the best rate.
Dollar rate. Yeah. Okay. Mm. I have a question because I think even in your explanation of all those things and making right financial decisions,
mm-hmm.
I believe that's still, it's still in a vacuum, right?
Yeah.
I want to ask about because money. We use money for different things. And I'm going to relate this based on the two experiences you told me about, I guess, poor money decisions or interesting money stories that you told me. And so you talked about one, about going out on a, having a night out with girls who were your friends and spending about 40,000 Kenya shillings.
On girls.
On your friends. And I asked you, what was it for? And you said it was for friendship. You were trying to buy friendship. Right, with the 40,000, with I guess buying them drinks and making them feel good, and so I want to not look at money in a vacuum, in the use of money and bad money decisions in a vacuum, but then saying at this particular point in time, like you are pursuing, I guess you're hoping to get, I don't know whether it was friends, or a friendship or a good relationship, so I want to sort of correlate, the poor, you know, use of money,
mm-hmm.
but for the pursuit of what would otherwise be a noble thing. It's just that it went south. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess what are your thoughts or what's your response to that? Because even if you're making a bad money decision, it's not just, oh yeah, I'm going to go and spend money badly, right? Yeah.
Actually, I think beginning of that day, I hadn't planned on spending a dime.
Yeah.
But then, I ended up spending that much.
Yeah.
And the next day I was like, what did I do last night? Mm. You know? And then you kind of expect that you're going to, there's payback, you know, people are going to call you for drinks and you will feel like you have earned it back, but it doesn't come.
Yeah.
So I think the one thing that I did at that moment, and I was very liquid, that's why I was saying, the commissions that I was getting, I blew them,
yeah.
I was very liquid. And that period of time after, I met someone who told me, always put your money in a project. And he told me, if you do not give money a name, it always finds one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the best. Remember, I knew how to budget.
Yes, yeah.
Before. I
mean, you were in the...
Yes, but now because I am in liquidity, I have decided, let me blow it. And yes, I am still budgeting for the... But I'm still keeping a very big chunk of money in liquid in the bank.
Yeah.
So when you have, you just swipe your card and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're swiping it, you don't want to see it, so you don't feel the pinch.
yeah?
You don't feel the pinch that you're spending it.
Yeah.
So the moment I learned now that putting money, giving each coin a name,
mm-hmm.
I started using a different way of budgeting. For me, it's the zero budget.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have even a shilling that does not know that does not know sign, its name.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have money that is lying in the bank just lying.
Mm-hmm.
It has to have a name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is for this purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that really works out for me at the moment because it gives me a focus of this is where the money is going.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask me for money right now, Barack, I'll tell you, by the way, Sina, because it's already been accounted for somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So if you operate in a vacuum, the way you're saying, unfortunately, this money will find a loophole and it will go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know Amos says you have to respect money, you have to,
Right, right.
And I say the same thing. You have to respect it for it to respect you back.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to give it a name so that you are not feeling like you're in liquidity.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if that money now goes, you're left blank.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually now left in your own vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm.
I have another question for you. You've drawn from the Twitter streets. This again was someone who was, again, in this past weekend when everything sort of flared up, someone who was trying to make a difference and differentiate between, I think they were calling it edutainment and financial advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there were also people who were saying, you know, you shouldn't take financial advice from an influencer or, you know, of whatever the case is. I want to ask you, as a investment and financial professional, someone who actually has credit and validity and its work that you actually do. Do you think, because money is such an important component in our society and in our everyday life, and I mean, people get fleeced right, left and center. So do you think that it should be giving financial advice should be governed in the same way as other professional careers, you know, for example, like doctors, lawyers. I mean, you don't just go and get medical advice from, you know, the next person on the street talking about X and X, and you don't do the same about getting legal advice or engineering advice or, you know, architectural advice. You know, you just don't go pick it up from a magazine. You're like, oh yeah, this is great. But so Aman was asking this as a financial professional, do you feel like, like you guys should be governed, and for someone to be able to give financial advice, they ought to have some sort of accreditation. Or is it, you know, if you choose to listen to a charlatan, then, you know, that's your problem.
You actually should. Under the Capital Markets Authority, you should have a license for even being a financial advisor,
yeah,
and there are courses that you need to do,
yeah,
for you to get certification to do to be that.
Yeah.
The thing is, you see that disclaimer that you put out?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is what people should take into account very, and not on a light note. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The disclaimer of I am not giving financial advisory.
Yeah.
Do not take it,
yeah,
as financial advisory. Mm-hmm. That disclaimer should always be there.
Yeah.
I think what people do and what maybe influencers do, perhaps they take you on their journey for money,
mm-hmm,
and you decide to take it as financial advice.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't work out for you, what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was their financial journey. Mm-hmm. They just decided, let me document it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because there's so many people out there who are documenting their financial journey and their relationship with money. So if you decide to take it as financial advice, mm-hmm, and if perhaps themselves they didn't put that disclaimer, yes, because
yeah,
you always, and I, what we are trained to do, fortunately and unfortunately, mm-hmm, we always say, I think,
mm-hmm,
because it's my own personal opinion,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And my journey is my own journey.
Yeah.
If you take it as financial advice,
yeah,
or if what I say works out for you, well and good.
Yeah.
Yes. But if you take it as financial advice and decide to, you know, you can actually be sued.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because even as an investment advisor, if
yeah,
I made a wrong call on an investment on
yeah,
someone's account,
yeah,
I would be sued. I'd be liable for it.
Yeah.
So yes, we should be governed, and there is actually a certification that people should do.
Yeah.
Yes, with Capital Markets Authority.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, so I mean, I hear you. If I'm to try and push back, I mean, I hear you in the, you know, people taking their money journeys and sort of, you know, like, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, documenting it and a person perceiving that. I think it's a little bit like the Fire Festival situation, the issue with Fire, mm-hmm, Festival, which was around,
mm-hmm,
you know, marketing and what communication can do for a person's understanding, or
mm-hmm,
the person who's viewing and what they understand about what you're trying to say to them,
mm-hmm,
and what you're trying to sell.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe there needs to be a little bit of a little more, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
And just like you said, maybe constant disclaimers around.
Constant disclaimers.
You know,
yeah.
This is not financial advice.
Yes.
This is pure opinion or whatever the case is.
Exactly.
Okay. So right now,
mm-hmm,
what are you looking to achieve for you financially? Like, what are you trying to achieve in the next 5-10 years? What does success look like for you in that sense?
Ooh, I want to, on a personal note, I want to be financially free.
Yeah.
I want to wake up, and I keep saying this, I want to wake up on Monday and play golf,
mm-hmm,
and not think about bills.
Yeah.
That should start happening soon,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
I want to know that my children can be able to take care of themselves.
Okay.
By the time we are empty nesters, we are, and you're not taking care of,
yeah,
someone else's bills, you
yeah,
are traveling the world
yeah,
with your partner.
Yeah.
That is what I want. For the company, I want to empower as many women when it comes to financial literacy as
mm-hmm,
possible, and as many youth. Starting with, I love the fact that even my own mother right now has
mm-hmm,
started asking me what isn't in any government bonds. That feels
mm-hmm,
so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to try and explain to her
mm-hmm,
in a way that she would understand,
mm-hmm,
you know. I love that right now there are more, out of the clients that we have, I think 85% of them are women.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that we have people who decided I can only be able to save 50,000, and they have started saving 50,000, and that now they are into, they are millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it feels good,
mm-hmm,
and they refer other women, and yeah, so it feels good to see that happening. I would want to just see financial literacy taken to another level,
mm-hmm,
and having our kids start. I always have this dream of having my teenager working in a company during the holidays, such that they understand how money flows.
Right.
Yeah. The kind of environment that we have in the US, in the UK, where they work, yeah, and and pay some bills so that they can feel the pain.
Yeah.
I would want that to happen in Kenya.
Yeah.
Yeah. 75% is a 71% of financial literacy.
Yeah.
I think that's a good dream to have.
Yeah, I agree. Mm. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming to Financially Incorrect. I think, yes, you are the second financial professional that we've had on here. So a person who has the credibility to speak to and advise and actually respond. I think it's been interesting to sort of hear, I guess, what you think about this space right now and what it looks like. And I've really enjoyed this conversation. I've enjoyed your insights.
Thank you.
And yeah. Remember, on the 23rd at, I'm trying to see the name, Trademark Hotel, What Women Want, you'll be hosting a panel around money. I think it'll be a great discussion, be a great place for you guys to come and engage and listen. Yes. And remember, FXPass is sponsoring that. Remember, everything about trading, whether it's the lessons, whether it's opening demo accounts or a full trading account, please check the links in the description box and we will see you guys on the next episode. And this has been our celebration of women for the month of March.
International Women's Day.
Yeah, we hope you guys have enjoyed it.
Completely. Right. Thank you so much.
See ya.
See ya.